Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and this apologetic study of the false gospel of Fred Rogers. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, you can send those to our email address, BBFOhio@protonmail.com. You can also write to us and send any check or money order contributions to support the ministry by addressing those to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. You can also donate at bbfohio.com. On your desktop, use the PayPal button on the right-hand side of the screen. And if you're using the mobile site, use the drop-down menu. We now begin this apologetic study of the false gospel of Fred Rogers. This is part one of two, and we apologize the first 4 or 5 minutes is lower quality audio and video, but that then changes to the high quality at that point.
Before we get into our study tonight, I just want to clarify one matter, one thing, and ask the question, are we agreed with this statement? Only believers in the biblical gospel of Jesus Christ can be saved.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
So I just want you to understand that if you believe that, you shouldn't compromise that no matter who we're talking about. It doesn't matter if it's your own mother. It doesn't matter if it's your best friend from kindergarten. It doesn't matter if it's your spouse. And it doesn't matter if it's Mr. Rogers.
Man, the poor guy. Roosevelt said to
him. I'm not picking on anybody right now, but I'm telling you, that's exactly the response that I'm talking about. Why does it matter that it's Mr. Rogers? But it does. And people think you're crazy for even talking about it. But let me tell you something. If you don't understand that man has had more influence than any preacher you know.
That's right.
And it's not for the best. And we're going to talk about some of the reasons why. And if you don't understand it, go out and watch. I'll show you a cover photo of a documentary that Jenny and I watched. But also, there's a new movie coming out this month. Tom Hanks is playing the part. A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, I think is what it's called. And it's because unsaved people really have more understanding a lot of times than saved people do. And the unsaved world understands that Mr. Rogers had a massive effect on our culture. And Christians don't take this stuff seriously. And that's why Satan's winning. Satan knows that all he has to do to get to most Christians is put it in a cartoon or a child's programming or something cute. And so that's what he's been doing for my entire lifetime. And he's been causing Christians to have false beliefs using that stuff. Yes, John?
Romans 2... Romans chapter 2, verse 11 says, "For there is no respect of persons with God."
Amen.
And that phrase is wrong.
Just to give you an idea of the myths that surround Mr. Rogers. And this is we'll just talk about it. How many of you heard these stories about Mr. Rogers being a war hero? It's a myth. He didn't ever go to war. There's actually one of the internet myths that goes around on Facebook every year. Seems like it gets all around that he was a Navy SEAL. He was not a Navy SEAL. He never fought in a war. Never killed anyone. I say that because some of these talk about him like being heroic and killing a bunch of people to save his own comrade, fellow soldiers. Didn't happen. He doesn't have any tattoos. Why you say that? Because on the internet they tell people that's why he always wore long sleeves. To cover up his tattoos.
He could just like being warm.
He just
perhaps.
Well, it adds to the false myth that this guy was somehow an example of masculinity, even though he was like a little grandma. And that's what he was. He was like a little grandmother. And a man, I'm just saying straight up, a man shouldn't act like Mr. Rogers. Yeah. If you're a man and you act like Mr. Rogers, you're effeminate. Yeah. And the Bible says a man's not supposed to be effeminate. And the only difference between me and a lot of other men that know this is, I don't care, I'll say it. There are a lot of other men I know who actually agree with what I say, but would never say it. Because they ain't got a spine. And I think part of that's because of Mr. Rogers. A lot of these guys have been taught.
He was not a closet sodomite. I'm happy to report. A lot of the myths, you'll hear people say he was a closet sodomite. He wasn't. And he did not flip the bird at kids. There's a video where he was playing a game and you hold up your thumbs and there's a little jingle and then you hold up your, and then you hold up your, and then, you know what I mean, each finger. And so they still shot him with his middle fingers up and they say he was flipping kids off. That's just one example. That's what I'm saying. Whether it's something good or bad about anybody, including Fred Rogers, there's no reason, no one should ever believe anything they see on the internet unless you go out and confirm it. And people do it all the time. Christians share this stuff all the time. I see it on their social media. And it's a lie. Now, is it okay to lie? Why do people lie? If it's a lie, it's a lie. So why didn't know? You didn't check. You're, as a Christian, you're supposed to check. That's, you know what that is? When someone says something to you, especially calling him a closet sodomite, and then you just repeat that, it's called gossip. Gossip is slander. And so, there you go as an introduction to some of the Fred Rogers myths. Let's look at Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. And I've got this same flack that I've gotten for saying truthful things about Mr. Rogers when I talk about Billy Graham. I just quote him. I just give historical facts, and people get angry at me. And I'm happy to report that I don't give a flip. They can get as angry as they want. I'm not up here to please you. Every one of you right now, I want you to look at me. I am not up here to please you. Do you understand that? And you online, or you listening later on, I am not up here to please you. If you came here online or you came here physically or whatever to be pleased, you're here for the wrong reason. You're only supposed to be here because you want somebody to tell you the truth. And it should be a biblical based, and almost 90% or better of what you hear from this pulpit is expository verse by verse teaching. That's the way it ought to be. But there's a lot of people that do not go to church with the idea, I'm going to hear something today, and I want to hear the truth, and if I'm wrong, I'm going to change. That's always been my attitude when I went to church, but I found a lot of people, that's not their attitude. I'm going to church today, I want to hear the Word of God, and if I'm wrong and it's right, I'm going to change. And that's just not what most people are doing when they go to church these days. Here's something in Galatians that you, most of you at least, I'm sure, are familiar with. Beginning of verse 9, read the odd with me. I'll start verse 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. I mentioned Billy Graham a moment ago. You can hear Billy Graham preaching the biblical gospel. You can also hear and watch video of Billy Graham preaching a false gospel. And we put it in our videos so people can know I'm not just making it up. And when Billy Graham was preaching that false gospel, he was accursed.
Yep.
Is that true?
Yep.
Well, and that's what we're saying about Fred Rogers had a gospel that he preached, and it was never the biblical gospel. Am I cursing him? No, the Bible says it. I didn't make it up. It just is what it is. Now, here are some things that won't save you. Keep in mind these things as we move on. Being an ordained minister will not save you. So if I go up to a man and I say, you know, are you a Christian? Have you believed the gospel and been saved? And he says, well, I'm an ordained minister. That's not an answer, is it? What if I said, well, Jesus is important to me? That doesn't do it, does it? You do realize what I'm about to show you in a minute. Doing good things, does that save you? Treating others kindly isn't going to get you to heaven. Nothing wrong with any of those things, are there? The question is, does it get you to heaven? Is this how you're saved? No. So, what about obeying the Sermon on the Mount? Now, nobody ever has except Jesus, by the way. What about keeping the golden rule? No one kept it perfectly other than Jesus, so we'd all go to hell. Amen? Well, this is from an article from The Atlantic, and it was put out in 2015, about November of 2015, so it's about 4 years ago. It says, quote, Amy was a frequent viewer of PBS's Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood and had formed a deep connection to the gentle host who made her feel safe and accepted in his tiny staged living room. So she penned Rogers a letter. This is a good little girl. To, quote, make sure he knew he was going to heaven. Isn't that sweet? She cared about his soul, wanted him to go to heaven. Within weeks, she received a lengthy response from a man who personally answered every piece of fan mail he received. He thanked her for the colorful drawing she sent him, which is, he told her, is special because you made it for me. Nothing wrong with any of this. And then he addressed the matter that most concerned Amy. He says, this is directly from his letter, you told me that you have accepted Jesus as your Savior. It means a lot to me to know that. And I appreciated the scripture verse that you sent. How does he answer? He says, I too have received Jesus as my... He doesn't say that. His response is, I am an ordained Presbyterian minister. And I want you to know that Jesus is important to me too. I hope that God's love and peace come through my work on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. He did not answer her question as to whether Jesus was his Savior. And at no point did Fred Rogers ever publicly answer that question.
It's all about my work,
He said, I hope that God's love and peace come through my work. And Amy knew better. Amy knows that peace and love only come through the work of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's the truth. Rogers is never on record claiming to be saved or born again or a believer in the biblical gospel ever. Ever. The Atlantic says this as well. This is the author of the article, Jonathan Merritt. The article is titled Saint Fred. And he says, Fred Rogers was an ordained minister, but he was no televangelist, and he never tried to impose his beliefs on anyone. By imposed, they simply mean he never preached the gospel. Ever. That's what they mean. The word impose means there's three different definitions. So we're going to ask ourselves, which one do we use as a Christian when it comes to the gospel? To lay on or to set on, to lay on as a burden or tax or toll or duty or penalty. We don't impose the gospel in that way. Number two, to place over by authority or by force. We don't impose the gospel in that way. Number three, to lay on as a command, to enjoin as a duty. That's how we impose the gospel. We tell them, you are a sinner and you have a duty. You are commanded to repent and believe the gospel. If you don't impose the gospel according to that definition, you're not a follower of Jesus Christ. You're not. You may be saved, but you're not following Jesus. Some people don't understand that difference. We'll have to talk more about that another time. Does the Bible tell us not to impose? No, Mark 16:15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Impose. A little reality check. You ever hear someone quote Francis of Assisi saying, preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words.
Facebook.
He never said it. It's totally made up. Look it up. Look at, you won't find any credible historian or any source where Francis of Assisi ever said that. And it's quoted like, I bet it's quoted as much as John 3:16 by this present generation. Because they love the idea of not having to obey Jesus. Jesus said, preach the gospel, and he meant use words.
Do you have any idea who actually said it?
Somebody just made it up.
Yeah.
No, and that's probably why no one claims it.
It's probably the Wikipedia story. Francis of Assisi was alive from 1182 to 1246.
Yes. Yes, in case you were wondering. Well, Catholics call him a saint. Francis of Assisi, I don't know if he's in heaven. People really freak out when I say that. He was a good Roman Catholic who believed in his works. How many of you read Francis of Assisi? You read his works? I have. He was trusting in his works. He did not preach salvation by grace through faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He thought you were saved eventually if you kept all the Roman Catholic works and died in grace. You'll see a lot of quote unquote gospel references tied to Fred. We're talking about Fred Rogers, not Fred of Assisi. Here's an example. This is a screenshot from the First Presbyterian of Granville, just down the road. The gospel according to Fred Rogers. The problem is the gospel is never even mentioned throughout the article. They don't mention Jesus, the blood, the resurrection. See, people use that word gospel. I mean, they just use it as a word that they can just pretty much throw toward anything religious sounding, you know. And that on the wall over there, 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, tell you the gospel. If anybody calls something the gospel, a lot of what they call gospel music isn't gospel music. Doesn't have the gospel in it. Rogers speaks of some sort of unknown God in the center of the universe. And I'm like, God isn't in the center of the universe. I don't know where he even gets that.
Was it 5 or 6?
I'll be watching that soon, so spoiler alert. Don't give me a... Here's a quote from Fred Rogers. Wisdom from Fred Rogers. Quote, at the center of the universe is a loving heart that continues to beat and that wants the best for every person. anything that we can do to help foster the intellect and spirit and emotional growth of our fellow human beings, that is our job. Those of us who have this particular vision must continue against all odds. Life is for service. End quote. Now, as I always say, there's bits of truth in there. But I hate to tell you, first of all, the heart that he's talking about, he's referring to God, isn't in the center of the universe. And he does want every person to be conformed to the image of his Son. He doesn't want the best for every person in the terms that this is being spoken. He also told us our job. And he did not say, go ye therefore into all the world and foster the intellect and spirit and emotional growth of our fellow human beings. He said we were to preach the gospel and then make disciples. See? So this is a total false gospel preached by Mr. Rogers. And if I don't have copyright, so I didn't bring in a bunch of clips, but I could show you clip after clip after clip whenever he dealt with religion, God, heaven, death, whatever. It was never biblical. It was always unbiblical. But Christians are so easy. And so all he had to do is talk about heaven, even if he defined it falsely. Talk about God, even if he made it some thing out in the middle of the center of the universe. And they were like, well, he talks about God. That's how people are. It's just amazing. There's another one. Just so you know, it's not just one thing taken here. This is from a book where he was quoted, Life's Journeys, according to Mr. Rogers, Things to Remember Along the Way. Quote, I believe that at the center of the universe, there dwells a loving spirit who longs for all that's best in all of creation. A spirit who knows the great potential of each planet as well as each person. And little by little will love us into being more than we ever dreamed possible. That loving spirit would rather die than give up on any one of us. He was we'll get to that in a minute, but he was basically a universalist. But look at the quote. Again, God's not in the center of the universe. And he doesn't long for all that's best. He longs for you to be conformed to the image of his Son. Now you say, well, that's the best. Well, that's not the best that Rogers is referring to. Now, he knows the great potential of each planet. I don't even know what that means. As well as each person. Little by little will love us into being. The Bible says it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. And repentance and faith in the gospel, which brings us salvation, which then puts his spirit in us, which then he begins to conform us to the image of his Son. So this is just a total false gospel. It has, of course, no mention of Jesus or the cross or the shed blood or the resurrection. And that loving spirit would rather die than give up on any of us. The true God did die in the person of Jesus Christ to save us. And Mr. Rogers, if you love children so much, why didn't you ever tell them how to be saved? Okay, on PBS, maybe they wouldn't let him do it on his show. He traveled the world speaking to people one-on-one all the time. And there's no record of him ever telling people how to be saved. No record. Can you imagine? You know who I think should have been Mr. Rogers? John Allball. Wouldn't John have done a great job? He could have gone on PBS and not preached the gospel, just preached biblical truth and everything. And then when he went out visiting, he would have given every one of those kids a gospel tract.
Amen.
Amen. This is what it reminds me of. This is what Mr. Rogers' God reminds me of. Acts 17:23. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. One of the things Paul Price said is he's not in the center of the universe for beginners. I almost wouldn't be shocked to find out that as he was walking onto Mars Hill and they were singing, he heard them singing in Greek, "It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. A beautiful day. Won't you be mine?" James 2:19 says, "Thou believest that there is one God? Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." My friends, God is very sarcastic. That is sarcasm, whether you like it or not. I've had people, and that is great sarcasm. You think you believe in God? You do well. The devils believe and tremble. Well, that's what this stuff being preached by Fred Rogers is. It's this empty theism. And it's no, I'm going to say it because it's true. The faith of Fred Rogers was that of a devil. Am I wrong? I like it better. Am I right? And I'm going to stop and say this. We like to have fun when we do Bible study. I don't want anybody to get the idea, though, that I'm joyous about the fact that I don't believe Fred Rogers was ever saved. I hope, beyond hope, that he's in heaven. But he left us no reason to believe that. And he also left a lot of people with confusion. And I'm not even getting into this really tonight, but I just want to tell you this. It's not just the fact he preached a false gospel. It's Fred Rogers, Dr. Spock, and all these other goofballs who helped create this narcissistic generation we have today. Everybody's the center of the universe. You're special. No, you're a sinner. You need to be saved. You know who's special? Jesus. And if you start talking about yourself and I'm so special, you're robbing Jesus. He's the one that you should direct all your adoration toward. All of your love and all of your appreciation is all toward Him. I should be burning in hell. I look to Jesus and I say, "You are amazing. I love you. I will always adore you. I will sing praises forever because only because of you will I not be in hell." It just drives me crazy when I see Christians preaching this stuff.
That's what Apostle Paul said about if you got one thing to be bragging about Jesus.
Yeah. And Jeremiah said, if any man glory, let him glory in the fact he knows God. But I have to make this clear. From the very beginning of his career, Rogers preached in an apostate church. This is from Salon magazine. It says, for his graduate education, Rogers enrolled in Pittsburgh Theological Seminary. At the same time, he continued to be interested in children's television programming. While splitting time with his coursework, Rogers started working as a program manager at the local Pittsburgh public broadcasting station, WQED, in 1953. That's how far back this goes. Meanwhile, Rogers was excelling at his ministerial work. He even won a prize for his preaching ability and would often give a sermon or two at Pittsburgh's 6th Presbyterian Church. This is, I'm still quoting, a congregation known for its sexual and racial inclusivity. In 1953, he was attending a church where homosexuality was embraced. This is from their website. He attended this church right up to he died in 2003. Quote, "We are an open and affirming community of faith in Jesus Christ." That's a contradiction. We are not an affirming community of faith. We are a community of faith who call on those in sin to repent. We will not affirm you in your sin. This church affirms people in their sin. And I'll show you, it's what they mean. I'm not just adding to what they're saying. They say, quote, this is another layer of wickedness. At home in...